So I know what you're thinking. Somebody gave Father Nathan flowers. And the answer is I bought them myself. Which is kind of pathetic, but you know, I figured sweetest day is coming, I'll just get myself some flowers. No. No, what these are would be a visual aid. Visual aid, right? And I've got a few of them in here, my little self-made bouquet, and maybe I'll take this one out if I can. Ah, there it goes. So you tell me, what can we say about this flower? Is it pretty? Can you see? What kind is it? You can see that. You have good eyesight in the back. That's great. Your eyes are fine. So it's a rose. And you can see that it's at just that perfect spot of being, you know, like all the way open, right? Anything else about it? What's that? It's multicolored. It's kind of fall colored, right? So there's some kind of fuchsia in here and, you know, some orange and some like tangerine and some reds. Smells very nice. Okay. So it's kind of exquisite, wouldn't you say? And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful flower. There, what's that? Well, this is the thing. He said it's healthy. There's one grave problem with the flower. It's dead. It's dead. And this is a hard thing to hear, right? I mean, the point this morning is actually a hard one, right? I mean, this is dead. It's been cut off, and you can see it, from the very source of life that allowed it to grow into this beautiful object. But what I have in my hand, as beautiful as it looks on the outside, as healthy as it apparently looks, as stunning as it is a dead object. And we all know that in a little while, in a few days, what it's going to look like. It's going to wither, and it's going to go in the garbage heap. Okay? So I say this because in our gospel, we have these 10 lepers. They were cleansed. And they were made by God's grace, by the grace of the Son who came among us in person. They were made beautiful, like this flower is beautiful. Okay? They were made clean. They were made new. To be a leper in that time period was a horrible scourge and disgrace. It was a social outcast situation. They were not only medically unclean, but ritually you couldn't associate with them and not become unclean yourself in a religious sense. So for Jesus to reach out to these 10 people and to do this act of kindness for them was a tremendous thing for him to do. Broke every barrier imaginable, right? Out of the 10, we know that only one comes back to thank God. Only one out of the 10 recognized the source of the one who was his beauty, his newfound cleanliness, his newfound sanctity, his newfound wholeness. Only one recognized where the goodness in his life and in his limbs and his members had come from. It was from God. And not just God, but the God who had come in person to usher in his kingdom, the God who is Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. Only one, the foreigner, by the way, for added shock value, comes back and thanks God. The other 9, dead flowers. Beautiful for a while, healed, made whole, but because they have cut themselves off in acknowledgement of the one who did it for them, they're going to die. They're going to wither away, and they're going to die, and their beauty is only going to last for a little while because they don't understand that the true source of life isn't themselves, it is God. It is God. So it's a story about dead flowers. That's what the gospel's about. It's about dead flowers and one that will bloom again and again and again because that one is on the vine who is Jesus, who's the source of life, rooted in him. No? In the early Christian community, not long after Jesus was already gone to his Father, gone in the geographic sense, not in a real sense, the Christians began to gather on a weekly basis on Sunday, and they did what that one grateful leper did. They gave thanks. And our word for the Eucharist, as you probably know by now, it comes from the Greek root of that word. They say, we gather and we Eucharistian, we give thanks. That's our weekly duty. We come together, we hear the scriptures proclaimed, we break the bread, and we give thanks. So for the early Christians who gathered for the Eucharist, for the Mass, there was no question about being dead flowers. They understood that even in persecution, even in difficulty, even in hardship, and there's a lot of that, it's true, they had to come before the Lord and tell him, "We are so blessed. You have showered down on our heads so many blessings," and when we recognize that, the natural reaction is to come before the altar and to give gratitude back to God. Eucharistian, to give thanks. That's what Mass is. It's thanksgiving. It's the one grateful leper. That's Mass, rooted. What does it mean then for us today? For those of us who are here this morning, on one level, I think, the good news is we recognize why we should be here, no? We recognize that God is the source of our blessings. We recognize that the Mass is the most important thing we can do every single week, no? So we are therefore, those of us in this room anyhow, like that one grateful leper who comes back understanding who the source of all of our life and blessings happens to be. But what about everybody else who isn't here? What about the other nine, Jesus would say? Where are they? Numbers tell us these days that if you were to take a poll of Catholics, and we poll them all the time because we have nothing else to do, I guess, these days but poll people, about a third of Catholics on the high side go to Mass every single Sunday. That's down from 80% in the year 1960. Okay? So we've dropped that much in this many years, right? So for those who go every single Sunday, they're like the grateful leper. For those who are not there, for those who don't have an excuse, right? Now, if you're really sick, makes sense not to come to Mass. If there's a snowstorm, makes sense not to come to Mass. If there are locusts, fires, and volcanoes, and earthquakes, and hurricanes in the case of the southeast, makes sense not to go to Mass, right? If you are one of those unfortunate people, and I hear from them from time to time, who say, "Father, I have no income. I have to work on Sunday to pay my bills on shifts that go from 6 to 10 or some god-awful thing. In our corrupt culture that makes people work on a Sunday to feed their family, which is awful, and you go to Mass, or you can't go to Mass because you are sad that you can't be here," that's another story, right? But for everybody else, the other nine, dead flowers, okay? Where are the other nine, Jesus says? Don't they understand that they must give thanks to me, that they must Eucharistian, that the reason everything is going okay for them is because I am flowing through their veins? So it's going to look good for a while, right? Life apart from the sacraments, apart from grace, but after a time, it's going to wither. It's going to wither. If we cut ourselves off from the power of our baptism that flows through us, water, no? If we don't go to confession, if we engage in immoral action, that's what mortal sin is. Mortal sin cuts us off from the roots of the Lord. If we don't come to Mass and give of ourselves, then dead flowers we become. It is inevitable. Now, God is the great miracle worker. Even he could bring this back to life and regraft it on his vine. We have to ask for that. We've got to want it. Those nine, one day they could be saved if they realize, wait a minute, I'm only walking around alive because God did this for me. But we have to want it. If we don't, beautiful for a while, on the way to the grave. What about the culture? We are a month from yesterday away from Election Day. We are swimming in the filth of the entire situation. I think many of us find ourselves quite troubled by the choices that are before us in this particular electoral cycle. I certainly do. We can ask ourselves, what about the people in America? What is America like as a whole? What's our situation these days? Hard to say, frankly. Hard to say. If we search the scriptures and look at the prophets and look at what they said over and over again, they would say, and every prophet said the exact same thing. They said to Israel, "You're so blessed. You have in many ways such prosperity. You have so many good things that have been showered down on you. You have achieved a kind of success and status that you once only dreamed of." And for those of you who are older than me, which is a lot of you here who are much older than me, America, in some respects, is what you could have only dreamed of as a child. Look at what we have today. So many blessings, such abundance, such generosity, so many needs, but also so many things at our fingertips with science and medicine and cures and technology, all these things. God says, I have blessed you, America. But the prophets said the same thing, but you are going off the cliff because you have forgotten the one who gave it to you. You have decided you did it for yourselves, that you are the source of your blessings. And the prophet said, no. If you think like that, you're not going to make it. So what can we say about our culture today? Maybe. America looks great on the outside. A lot of nice things. But if we have decided as a culture to cut ourselves off from the one who has given us all these blessings, if we decide to keep trying to make some sort of forward motion history apart from the divine law and the grace and the gratitude that is owed to the one who's given us all these things, if that's how we're going to be, then this is what we are. It looks lovely, but it's dead. The prophets also said again and again, you can turn back. There's still time. You can remember God again. You can realize He's the one doing all this through you. You can turn to the poor. You can turn to the suffering. You can turn to the law. You can turn back, and the prosperity that God has given you can continue to flourish and grow. But if you don't, you'll be destroyed. So what would the prophets say today? They would probably say, America has a lot to think about. So I think that what's facing us right now, right, are a lot of very serious challenges. The question is, what to do? What to do? On a personal level, which is the only one we have some control over, I can barely control myself, frankly. It's a hard battle, I tell you. On a personal level, we can decide some things. We can decide that we're not going to be dead flowers as people, no? We're going to be on the vine who is the Lord. And we're going to be people who, like that one grateful leper, acknowledge where our blessings come from and tell God thanks all during the day. All these chances to tell Him thank you, you know? And even when things are hard, right? I mean, the saints, one of their attributes is that even when things were difficult for them, when challenges came, and they come to us all, don't they? The saints always said thank you. Lord, this challenge is good for me. Your grace is breaking through in my sufferings. I appreciate the blessing that even my hardship actually is. So we can choose to be people of gratitude and thank the Lord. And as we do that, like all of us this morning, right? No dead flowers here, okay? Because you're here. All of us this morning, we could say, I'm going to be grateful. Realize the one who has blessed me and thank Him for it. I'm going to be a person of the Mass and the sacraments and never miss unless I've got a really, really good reason. I'll be rooted in the one. Eucharistian. Mass is that one grateful leper, right? So we can do that anyway, right? What about all the Catholics who aren't here? And by not here, I don't mean at Mass in some of the nice parish someplace else. I mean not going at all because they've just tuned out, okay? It's not my job to bring them back. It's not Pope Francis's job to bring them back. It's not the bishop's job to bring them back. And it's not about, you know, I don't know, hymns, better homilies, which you probably deserve a better one today, and hospitality. All those things are excuses for folks to stay away. It is your job to bring them back. You have to go and get them. Okay? You do that. And you come here to get nourished, to have the power and the strength to go and do that. And you do that when you recognize that they are this without this. And you are this without this. And I am this without that. So you have to go bring them back. Because the question is, where are they? Where are they? I sat through so many years of bad homilies and bad hymns and poor hospitality, to use the in terms these days from the Archdiocese, not because I'm some amazing person, but because I realized that I needed the Eucharist, that I had to be there, it was my duty. And I don't get a cookie for that. My point is, I was just doing what I was supposed to do. I came to worship. Okay? Somehow, we have to get out to the people out in the world that all the excuses they have for walking away from the church, they are just that. They're excuses. They're excuses, and they're dying because of it. What about the culture? That's a harder one, I must say. Most of it you can't control. Most of it I can't control, and the prophets are an indication it had to fall apart before it got better. But God always says, in the end, be faithful. Be the light. You who are my chosen, special, non-dead flowers, the ones on the vine, you be the light in the culture. You think differently. You live differently. You love differently. And as it does come apart, and it will probably keep coming apart, you are the ones who are going to bring it all back one day and build something new again and make America great again in God's sight. Not of your own power. The only one who makes America great again is the Lord. Is the Lord. If we give our hearts to Him. We know that. And it's our God-given duty to tell other people the same thing. So, prophets all around me this morning, no? At the heart of it, of course, must be our prayer. And if we're going to change anything in the world about ourselves, our neighbors who aren't here at Mass, the world in general, we must pray, no? Because prayer is the source of life flowing through our veins that lets us, not like this flower, be rooted in the one who has given everything for us. So, the pledge for today is no dead flowers. Beautiful on the outside, dead on the inside, but if we make the choice to come back to Christ, even He can bring this back to life. And it will bloom again and again and again. We will bloom again and again and again if we turn back to Him every single day in thanksgiving, like that one blessed, saved, grateful, cured leper. Let that be you. Let that be me.